Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I hope you're having a fantastic Thursday so far. Starting tomorrow, the Farm Bureau Expo Center in Lebanon, it's Music City Multicon. Going to be a really cool event that you have the opportunity to meet different actors and obviously professional wrestlers, including our next guest, Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, WWE Hall of Fame manager, is on the line with us. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, man. Good morning, Jason. Big Joe. I appreciate your call, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so so cool to have you on with us as you're going to be in our city here this weekend for Music City Multicon. How fun is it for you to interact with wrestling fans, both from, you know, days of the good old days, as we like to say, and the new fans today?
Well, first of all, when you say the game, I always think of our boss, Triple H, for the WWE. But it's going to be awesome, man. You know, I love getting back in the Tennessee area because I was really raised down in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the day when I first started in the wrestling business. And I was part of a group called the Gentrys. We had a million seller rep back in the day, too, called Keep On Dancing. So it's always great to get back.
Yeah, and you are very well known around these parts. Why is Tennessee, whether it's Nashville, which has a rich history in wrestling, or as you mentioned, Memphis, why is it so important to the history of the business?
You know, that's a good question. But, you know, when I was in Memphis, you know, of course, I went to Treadwell High School there where Jerry the King Lawler went. And he's the one that really gave me my break in professional wrestling. And I think just back in the day, it seems like everything started down there. Stone Cold came through Memphis. The Rock came through Memphis. The Undertaker came through Memphis. And the list can go on and on. But I think so many big names started down there, which Nashville was part of our Saturday night town that we ran every week, too.
You were talking to Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, legendary wrestling manager. You're a Hall of Famer in your own right. But you talk about the guys that you've managed over the years, whether it's the Honky Tonk Man, Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, the Hart Foundation, Jerry Lawler, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Hulk Hogan, the Nasty Boys. You've been with all of these Hall of Fame wrestlers in their own right. Do you have to pinch yourself even at this point in your career?
Well, you know what? I tell everybody the truth. I look in the mirror sometimes and I go, did I really get paid for this all these many years? And don't forget, two of my guys I managed too, which is Mike Rotundo and Ted DiBiase, Mike's called the IRS, of course. They're going to be on the show with us this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Farm Bureau Expo Center, of course, at Music City Multicon. But Scott Steiner is going to be there. Ron Simmons is going to be there. But, I've, of course, in 2005, I was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame and still wear the ring. But when all the people come out, everybody wants to see the ring. They want to see Jimmy Hart's megaphone that Vince gave me back many, many years ago that I still carry to the ring and carry when I do my autographs now, too. But it's just going to be a great time.
We're talking to the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Jimmy, we put out that you're going to come on the show today. We get so much reaction because you're just so beloved. When did you know that you were onto something as this role in the WWF back in the day? When did you know that I got something here?
Well, it started in Memphis when I started getting beer thrown on me every night and gum thrown in my hair. Matter of fact, if you ever get gum in your hair, buy a jar of peanut butter because that way you don't have to cut your locks out and just put the peanut butter in and spin it around and it'll come out. But I remember back then we'd get so many boos and so much hatred stuff. And then, of course, when I switched over, when I became a tag team partner and a fan of Jerry Lawler and managed him, all of a sudden the people started to love you. I think you got to be a great bad guy to be a good guy, if that makes any sense.
It makes great sense. And then it transitioned into the Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler thing that went on. How beneficial was that for your career and what you wanted to do?
Well, you know, it was so crazy, but when Andy came down from us from doing Taxi, which was unbelievable back in the day, you know, Jerry did the big angle with him on David Letterman, of course, but I got to manage him for over a year and a half when he came to Memphis. But Andy loved this business. He'd stay at my house sometimes, but after the matches on Monday night, he'd always want to go by Elvis's house to see if Elvis would come out of the gate still alive. And I said, Andy, he passed away in 77, 4 years ago. And I said, he's not going to come out, but he didn't believe me. He goes, well, let's just sit by the gate for a while. Let's just see if he sneaks out. I said, okay, whatever you want. But Andy was great. He was great.
Jimmy Hart is with us. All right, so you're considered one of the greatest managers of all time. And I feel like the art of the manager is kind of gone in professional wrestling. You still have a few. Paul Heyman, obviously, is one of them. But why is it so important to have a good manager when it comes to wrestling?
Well, usually you use a manager if the person can't talk. But that's why Paul Heyman's so good right now. I love Jimmy Cornette. Of course, all the managers, Lou Albano, everybody that I was with so many years ago. But just to be mentioned in their name is unbelievable by me, to be whether I'm in the top 5, top 10, or top 20. But nowadays, a lot of things are scripted. What you say on TV is written out for the people. And I think they try to get more of the wrestlers to do their talking now instead of having a manager doing it.
You mentioned Triple H when we were talking about the game, as he's kind of running creative now for WWE. You've worked with him over the years, seen him go from being one of the guys in the back to now running the show. What is that relationship like, and what do you think about what he's doing now that it's kind of his show?
Well, you know, he's so special because he's been there in the ring and he's done it. So he really has a great concept of what it takes to really draw money, because he's drawn a lot of money, and to be somebody that can be compassionate enough. If somebody's got a problem, he can sit down and talk with you about it and work it out with you. But he's very good. He's like Vince. He can convince you of doing anything he wants you to do. I'll tell you that now. But like I said, but Vince McMahon, like I said, he was so special to us and still is so many years, because he's the one that gave me the megaphone. He brought it back from Japan one day and said, "Jimmy, this is going to be your new gimmick." And I said, "Okay, thank you. Can I paint it up?" He said, "Do anything you want to with it." But like Triple H and Stephanie and all the, or they're so important to this business, because they've been there and done it before.
Talk about your relationship. We're talking to the great Jimmy Hart on the Chase and Big Joe show. Talk about your relationship with my all-time favorite wrestler, the Honky Tonk Man, because I got to tell you, Jimmy, growing up back in the day when, you know, you would come on with him, it was must-watch TV. Talk about how that all kind of came together and how it kept so strong through the years.
The greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, the Honky Tonk Man. Well, you know, Honky and I lived in Memphis together, both of us Elvis fans, of course, but when Honky took a little break for us, and I went to New York, and all of a sudden he went to Pensacola, Florida. When he came back to New York, all of a sudden he had this Elvis gimmick. You know, he had the jumpsuit, the outfit, and he had a guitar, even though he couldn't play it or sing. But I went to the studio with my good friend Knox Phillips, who was the son of Sam Phillips. Sam Phillips, of course, produced Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lewis and all the stars back then. Well, we went to Sun Records, and we cut all of Honky's hits down there, Honka Honka Honky Love and Honky Dog Baby, of course, the big ones. And then we just put it all together, and we had a great time. I was colorful. He was colorful. And every night we'd go to the ring, and he said, "Y'all want to hear me sing?" And, of course, they'd go, "No," and we'd do the Honky Tonk Man song. And, of course, when we stopped doing it, everybody wanted to hear it. But he was special and still is. And like I said, Gunther up there now, he's one of their superstars that's got the Intercontinental Championship title now. And so I think he just beat the Honky Tonk Man's record by a few days about a month ago. So, but he was very, everybody I had was very colorful. I had the Hart Foundation. We wore pink and black, which was Neidhart and Bret Hart, the Nasty Boys, Wild and Crazy, the Rougeau brothers. And we had so much fun, the Rougeaus. And of course, being with Hulk Hogan, I mean, we're still good friends. We talk each and every week, me and Hulkster do. We live in Florida together, of course. But like I said earlier, sometimes I look in the mirror and pinch myself and go, "Did I really get paid for doing this?"
Jimmy Hart's going to be at the Music City MultiCon. You go to the website, musiccitymulticon.com. All the information is there for you. You'll be in Lebanon this week at the Farm Bureau Expo Center there. You said that with – let me ask you this, Jimmy. Why are you guys still so beloved today? Because this place is going to be packed on Saturday or this weekend to see you and the Million Dollar Man and everybody else there. Can you – condense it, why you guys are still so beloved all these years later?
Well, it's like anything else. It's kind of like the past is still part of the future, if you can figure that out. You know, I think when we were going up, gas was cheaper, food was cheaper. You'd go to the wrestling matches, and no matter what problem you had, whether it was your girlfriend problem, your wife problem, financial problems, health problems, for that 3 hours you came to see us, we entertained you. You had a ton of fun. And I think a lot of people still remember all that. And like I said, I'm in St. Louis now, and tonight I'm with Jake the Snake Roberts and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and we're doing a big charity thing up here that I'm flying into Nashville tomorrow, of course, for the going to Lebanon then for the big Comic-Con. But it's just something special. I think everybody was so colorful back then. And like you guys, just by talking to you guys, y'all were big fans, it seems like, because you know a lot of the history that I was part of.
Talking to Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, one cool thing about you that I've always liked, and people may not know this, you composed, and you talked about your music background, you compose a lot of memorable wrestling theme songs for a lot of these wrestlers, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Snuka, Dusty Rhodes. How fun was it you to kind of combine both of your passions?
Well, you know, I don't know if they were that great or not, but the point of it is a lot of people liked them. And I remember one time I went to Dusty. Vince goes, I want you to cut a song for Dusty Rhodes. So I got with Dusty. And I said, Dusty, what do you want? He goes, Jimmy, I want some girl singers. Okay. I said, okay. I wrote that down, girl singer. He said, I want some horns in it. I said, okay, I'll put horns in it. Wrote that down. He said, I like a cowbell on the front. I said, okay, cowbell. I said, man, Dusty, if you know what you want, why don't you write it yourself? He goes, oh, that was good. But that's when we did the Common Man song, and he loved it. And like I said, we did the Heart Foundation, the Honky Tonk Man, all of his stuff, Hulk's American Made, the Wolfpack by Nash and Hall when I was in WCW. But my lyrics were always kind of crazy, like for the Rougeau Brothers, All American Boys, they're being from Canada. But one of the verses was like, we don't like heavy metal, we don't like rock and roll, all we like to listen to is Barry Manilow. If I'd have said, we like to listen to Led Zeppelin, everybody would go, man, that's cool. But I said, Barry Manilow, you know? And so we just had so much fun doing it, me and my partner, and Jim McGuire. And like I said, we're still doing a little bit of music nowadays, too. And like I said, being part of a group, the Gentrys, we did all those Dick Clark tours back in the 60s with the Beach Boys and everybody, and there were bus tours back then. But, you know, it's just something that's been in my blood, and being able to do the wrestling and doing the music, I mean, it's really helped me be whatever I am now.
Talking to Jimmy Hart, Jimmy, one of our good friends, lives in Nashville, wrestler Reno Riggins, not as big as the guys you manage, but still spent many years on the circuit. He told me what wrestling, how it worked, how will always work. It's the eternal battle of good versus evil, and people love to see that. You agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't have a good bad guy without a good good guy. It's like Jerry Jarrett, who was our promoter back in the days down there. He's got his son, Jeff Jarrett, who's phenomenal. But he always said, Jimmy Hart, remember, there's two sides of a coin, a heads and tails. And then Vince always taught me two sticks are harder to break than one. So I kind of combined all that together and realized if you make people hate you, then sooner or later when you flip that coin, they're going to love you.
Talking to Jimmy Hart, he'll be here this weekend, Music City Multicon, which is at the Farm Bureau Expo Center in Lebanon. That is this weekend. Also, other wrestlers, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, IRS, Mike Rotunda, Scott Steiner, Ron Farouk Simmons, they'll all be here. Jimmy, before we let you go, I get asked a lot of times, you know, like around a birthday, hey, what was your favorite birthday? And mine was my 12th birthday because I got to go down to the Municipal Auditorium here in Nashville.
Oh my gosh.
I got to meet Kurt Hennig. I got to meet Barry Windham, and I got to meet you, Jimmy Hart, for the first time. You could not have been any nicer to a 12-year-old that loved pro wrestling. And I will never forget that day. It was such a cool day, and you were in character. One of your guys, Hugh Morris, had gotten like beat up the night before at a WCW show, and you were still mad about that. But that is a memory I will always have.
Hey, it's hard to kill a memory.
No doubt.
Whether it's good or bad or whatever. And like I said, I've just been so blessed to be doing this, and that's why I'm looking forward to seeing all my friends at the Music City Multicon this weekend, the Farm Bureau Expo Center. But, you know, like you said before, it's all kind of vendors, superstars, TV stars are going to be there. Of course, the wrestlers will be there. Big Joe and Jason, I just got to tell you, thank you so much for putting me on today, because that really helps out a lot. And we love everybody, man. It's just all great.
No, yeah, we appreciate you coming on. It's good to talk to you, and we will do this again down the road.
All right, keep on dancing, baby.
That is right. Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, joining us here on the program. And again, this weekend, Farm Bureau Expo Center in Lebanon. Really cool stuff, JoJo. That was cool.
Well, you know, that's a question. We can take a break, come back for those. And I know there's a lot to go on with Rabel and all that, but I want to ask you, I mean, you're a massive wrestling fan. The staying power of these guys. Let's talk about that when we come back.
We can do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.